All right, brethren, take your Bibles and turn to the book, well, the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. When I was preparing this week's bulletin, I put in Psalm 149, and I was reading the Psalm. I like to read it each week. And the following phrase jumped out at me in verse 3, where it says, "Let them praise his name in the dance." And it struck me. What struck me about that is I was reminded of something that an NFL owner once said, Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, and he once stated, I think it was the middle of the season, this is some 5 or 6 years ago, and he just was making the remark that everybody just wants to get to the dance. We just want to do what we need to do to get to the dance. And in his mind, I suppose it's because then anything can happen once you get to the dance. You might go to the Super Bowl and win it. But that's about where the similarities end right there. And, well, even they don't even make it that far. What struck me about what he said was the exclusivity of the dance, meaning that not everyone goes to the dance. Some people go to the dance and others don't go to the dance. But those whose joy and rejoicing, whose praise is their God, they rejoice in the Lord and they're made joyful and to dance because of the salvation of their God. And so they're filled with his Spirit and filled with joy at the remembrance of their God and what he has done for them. So that here in this life, having his Spirit, we're made joyful as the Lord brings to our mind, brings us to remember what he has done for us in free, sovereign grace. And made us partakers of the fellowship of the saints. I'm reminded that the scriptures say that we're surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And we're made partakers of the dance, if you will, of the people of God who rejoice in their Lord, who go through this life as many other, as everybody goes through this life, and we have the same happenings, if you will, in our lives, things that are joyful to people, things that are very sad and sorrowful to people, and yet we, brethren, by the grace of God, are made to rejoice in the dance, even now, even here, by the Spirit and grace of God, and we shall also be made partakers of that dance, if you will, when our Lord comes to redeem his purchased possession and to take us home to be forever with the Lord. And so I began to look more at this psalm, and what this psalm is a praise and a rejoicing of our Redeemer. We praise our Lord. We praise our God for his redemption of unworthy sinners like us who could never get to the dance. We don't have the means or the wherewithal to be made a partaker of the grace of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. But by his grace, we are partakers. We are made partakers, and we praise his name in the dance. I've titled this message, "Praise Him in the Dance." Now, this psalm, it begins and it ends in praise. It's all about stirring up the people of God, reminding us of the blessing of our God in his Son Jesus Christ. So looking at verse 1, the psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." So we're singing to the Lord who is our glory. And it describes us as singing a new song, because the word of our God, when we, by his Spirit, behold his salvation in his Son Jesus Christ, it's all new to us. We hear the gospel word with a new ear. We hear the gospel in the new man. We hear the newness of what we didn't know before. We were in darkness. We were in religion, perhaps, but we were in darkness to the grace and glory of our God and what he's done for sinners in redeeming them by his Son, Jesus Christ, not because we're worthy of it, not because we've earned it with our works or been good people. We've done nothing to earn our God's favor. But he's provided his Son freely. And so, by the Spirit, this word comes to us in freshness, in newness, so that we begin to hear something we've never heard before. We sat in religion, we did our works, we did what we were told to do in religion, but it was all dead works. But now we hear of the grace and glory of our God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we begin to sing the new song of redemption. We'll see in the next hour, Lord willing, our Lord says in John 14, verse 20, he said, at that day ye shall know. At that day ye shall know. And that day that he speaks of is the day of grace when he gives birth to his child of God, whom he's chosen to be gracious to and to be merciful to. And so in that day, when he gives us his Spirit, then we'll know what our God has done for us. Then all things become new. Then in that day, the darkness becomes light and the chains fall off, and the prison door opens, and we are called and brought out of that prison of bondage and darkness to the things of our God, and we worship our God who saved us, who called us in grace and in mercy. In heaven, in the book of Revelations, where we're given a view of that heavenly kingdom, where the saints of God glorify and worship the Lord, we're told in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, as they're worshiping the Lord, we're told that they sung a new song, a song of free redemption, a song of full redemption, of complete salvation for us who are sinners and are unworthy of God's mercy. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And so we sing this new song in the congregation of the saints. You that are the saints of God are made saints of God, and you are gathered together and sing praises and glory in your Lord and Savior. And so the child of God, we see, is stirred up to give thanks to their God. We're reminded here in the scriptures, here in the gospel, of what our God has done for us, so that we praise him for the salvation that he shows to us, for the grace that he gives us, for his mercy, for his teaching us, for making us to know what no one knows except he reveal it to them, to know that our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, not for our sakes, not for our sakes, but for his sake. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that before Christ is come, and before we hear him and see him by faith, we have no wisdom. We have no knowledge of God. We don't know how to please God or how to worship him. Before our God does this work for us, we're not righteous. Our righteousness is filthy works, filthy rag righteousness. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's not acceptable or pleasing to God. Before Christ has come, we thought that we separated ourselves unto God. We thought it was by our works and our looking to the law and our studying of the word that made the difference in us and that brought us nearer to God. But now we see, no, no. Because he loved us, he separated us unto the gospel to hear it, to believe it, to be called by the grace of our God into the faith of Jesus Christ. And we see by our God in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been purchased, redeemed by the blood of the Lord. And so our glorying ceases to be in self. In religion, the man or woman glories in what they've done to earn or to obtain favor with God. And they rejoice in themselves. But if you rejoice in yourself for what you've done for God, that's not right. That's not according to the scriptures, which tells us that salvation is of the Lord. It's all of him. Not only did he frame it out, but he's the one who accomplishes all our salvation from beginning to end, Alpha to Omega. All of it, even our coming, our hearing, our believing, our walking by faith in him is all of his grace and mercy. And this is what we see declared to us in the next verse, Psalm 149, verse 2. He says, "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him." We are a made people. "Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king." So that what our God is saying is that we are his creation. You that are the people of God are our God's creation in him. Now, many who profess to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have a problem with the fact that our God is our creator, that he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in the heavens and the earth. We know that our God is the creator. But when it comes to salvation, so few understand that even our spiritual life, our spiritual knowledge of him, this new man in us is not our creation, but it's his creation. So that everything is born of him. Everything is created of our God. Our faith, our walk, our works are all the creation of our Lord and Savior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And those things make up the new song that we sing, giving our God all the thanks and the praise, the honor, and the glory. We see this work of grace over in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read the first three verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter writes, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ." Now here's the first thing I want you to notice. He's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. So that you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't have this faith. It wasn't created by your flesh. You've obtained it. You've come into possession of it, just like the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ came into possession of it. They've obtained it. It was given to them through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And to those who've obtained like precious faith, who were given the gift of faith, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. There's the exclusivity. There's the distinguishing grace. There's grace and peace for those who have obtained, been given this gift of faith by their God. Verse 3 says, it's according, this faith is according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, does your faith pertain to your spiritual life? Does your faith pertain to godliness? Absolutely. Faith is essential to life and godliness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then how did we get it? It was given to us, all things, everything, your faith included, is given to us by our God for life and godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So that we that believe and walk and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who cry out to him when we're in pain and in suffering, who thank him through the good times and the hard times, who are leaning upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ because we have no strength of ourselves, this is all the workmanship, the product, the handiwork of our God being made evident that you are a saint of his, that you are a child of God, that he has called you, that he's redeemed you with the blood of his son Jesus Christ. If our God was waiting for us to figure it out, and he was waiting for us to change ourselves and to make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he waited for us, we would perish. We would die in our sins because we'll never get it right. We'll never come to our God in faith because why? I'm spiritually dead in Adam. Naturally speaking, I have no good works. I have nothing that makes me accepted with my God. I have nothing to offer to him and to boast before him of any goodness of my own heart or works or hands or thoughts. It's all sin in myself. And so we are the workmanship of God. We're the workmanship of our Savior. As he says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so that hour in which you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and every hour you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all ordained, having been appointed by your God, in which he is glorified for the salvation he works in you, and the hope you now have in his son, Jesus Christ. Now this brings us to verse 3. Psalm 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. So without the teaching of our Lord for us, we are in darkness forever. We'd forever be in darkness. But the Lord reveals to us that our believing and our hope, our profession and calling upon him, it's all of his works. It's all of his grace. So that, brethren, you are called to the dance, if you will. You're called to the dance. You're called into the fellowship of the saints. You're brought into the congregation of the saints of God, where only the saints of God are gathered in faith and hope and love of their Lord, rejoicing and dancing in thankfulness and praise and honoring and glory of our Savior together. You are gathered and called by your Lord because he fills you. He fills you by his grace. And we see it's all of his free sovereign grace that did this. Free because we didn't earn it, and sovereign declaring that he has full authority to reveal to you the hope of the saints in his Son, so that you that believe him may rest in your Lord, and you may rejoice in your Lord, and give thanks to your Lord for what he's done for you. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, we're bound to give thanks always, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So how do I know? How do I know if I am one of the chosen ones? How do I know that I've been called to this hands of the saints wherein they rejoice in the salvation of God? He says, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you who are called see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that he is the salvation whom God has sent for his people. And he's given me a hope and a faith that looks to him, believing that he is the righteousness of God, and he's my righteousness, whereby I'm clothed in righteousness, not in my own works by the law, but in his faithfulness, in his salvation. And I stand before God in a white robe that is pleasing to the Father, that's acceptable to him, because I'm righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when you believed, when you trusted the Lord, it wasn't the result of your works, it wasn't the result of your will, it's not the result of your flesh. When you thought it was, you were terrified. And every time we look at what we've done, and we begin to look at ourselves and what we're doing or not doing, we fear. We're afraid, especially when you believe that it's by you're doing that God had mercy on you in the first place. Like so many who profess to believe on Christ, they're trusting something that they have done. And because they got themselves saved, they're afraid when they see their work slipping, and when they see their zeal fading, and when they see their efforts as not being enough, they're made afraid because they were looking to their works. But when we look to the work of our Lord and Savior, though we might see in this flesh sin and unworthiness, when we look away from self and we look to the Son and we see the preciousness of his blood, the faithfulness of his work, and our God says to us, all who believe on him shall not be ashamed. You've obtained forgiveness with your God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he brings that to our hearts and brings that to our remembrance, then there's rejoicing and joy and peace and fellowship with our God, all in the reconciliation that's given to us freely in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because the grace of God does not rest on your shoulders. The grace of God is not resting on the things that you do or don't do, on the things you say or don't say. It rests entirely on the Son. And the Father's well pleased. Isn't that a joy and a rejoicing? Isn't that a relieving of all your burdens? To know that everything is secured for your salvation, for your joy and inheritance in Christ. And there's no if. There's no if tied to that rests with you. It's all accomplished by Christ. Believe him. Rest right there. Rejoice in your God. Dance, if you will. Just dance in joy and thankfulness of what your Savior has done. So, this dance, it's a word that is used to describe our salvation and the joy of our salvation. And only the saints of God have been called to the dance and are in the dance and going through the experience of the dance with all the saints of God, walking by faith, believing and trusting him. Though we go through hardships, right? Your house, you were telling me, brother, was pelted by big hail and just knocked off chunks and pieces, and water got in there and did damage to other things and destroyed some of the crops in your garden, and what a mess was made. But that's not your inheritance. That's not your hope. Your God, your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins are put away. There's your joy and rejoicing. And there's your hope and your glory in Him. You know, when Israel was being pursued by Egypt, when they were coming out in the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 15, we're told that their way was blocked by the Red Sea. They couldn't go any further, and they couldn't escape. Even if they could go further, they were never going to outrun the horses and the chariots of the Egyptian army. But of who do we read was destroyed? Was it the Egyptians or the Israelites? Because looking at it with fleshly eyes, we would presume that Israel, the children of Israel, with their women and children and their elderly and the men that they had, would have been destroyed by the army of Egypt. But instead, we're told in verse 19 that their song, which they sung, was the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. So that the children of God went through the sea of God's wrath untouched. But Pharaoh, when he tried to come unto God in his might and fury and power, he was destroyed by the wrath of God. And so who was rejoicing and dancing and singing on the other side? Who was there in the dance? Pharaoh and Egypt and the army? No, they were drowning under the wrath of God in the blackness of the sea. But the people of God were safely on the other side, safely on the shore. And they rejoiced and danced in what their God had done for them. And so it says, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. With dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And that's the song of the redeemed. We weren't there in Egypt physically, but we were delivered from our enemies and those who would destroy us and bring us into the blackness of the sea of God's wrath. But we have been delivered, untouched by the blood of Christ, so that we are made to rejoice and dance with singing and joy and gladness for what our God has done for us. And so, with this knowledge that the King of all is our God and our Savior, you know, you might think that we would be cold or arrogant or cocky in our ways and be cruel because we think that we have everything. But instead, we see that our God, He's our salvation. He's our sanctification. We're not keeping ourselves, but rather our God adorns His people with a spirit of meekness and a spirit of quietness before their Lord and a thankfulness for what He's done. And that we see in verse 4, Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people, He will beautify the meek with salvation. And so we see there that our God is keeping us. No, we're not arrogant. No, we're not hurting others who as of yet do not believe. No, we're out declaring patiently, joyfully, lovingly of what our God does for sinners. Because our God beautifies His people with a spirit of meekness. You know, over in 1 Peter 3, you read of Peter writing to the wife, and he encourages the wife to adorn herself not with outward beauty, but with a a right spirit, a spirit of quietness and meekness. I'll read it. It says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or braiding the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And so this meekness is described as an ornament. And those words aren't only for women and brides. It's for the bride of Christ. So that our adorning isn't with outward works of religion that are just dead, phony works, but the ornament of his grace, a quiet and meek spirit. And that's in the sight of our God of great price. And so we don't hope in our fleshly works. We hope in the grace of our God and what he's done for us and how he's teaching us and how he delivers us from our wicked ways and our foolish ways and our foolish boasting of self to boast in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 5, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." Now, the saints' glory is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of a bed. When is the time that we typically lay down in a bed? It's in times of darkness, right? It's in a dark time. That's typically when most people lay down in their bed, in the darkness. Or when they're sick, when they're not well, then they lay down in the bed. And so we have this dancing and we have this bed being mentioned. And these are seasons. All these have a place in the life of the believer. These are seasons. Sometimes there's great joy and rejoicing. And other times there's darkness and there's sickness. And we feel ill and really down because of the difficulties that we're going through, where the Lord humbles us and brings us to see our need of him and makes us to know our sorrow. And sometimes we feel afraid and we're uncomfortable with ourselves or what we've done and what we think or feel. But what he's showing us is that in all seasons, good or bad, in times of light and times of darkness, in times of triumph, in times of seeming defeat, in all these things, our God says, "Rejoice in me. Give thanks to me. Trust me. I've not changed in my feelings toward you. Nothing's changed with your inheritance, with all that I've given to you in the Son. Nothing's changed. No matter how you or I feel about it, no matter how strong or how weak we are, because salvation is all freely given in grace through his Son, Jesus Christ." And so he says, "Let them sing aloud upon their beds." And so we see that in every season, our God says, "Trust me, rejoice in me, give thanks, and praise my name, because I've given you everything in the Son." And so Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, you may praise him. Even when you're not very proud of something that you've done, in everything, give him thanks. Be humbled under his hand, but give him thanks. And thank him for what he's bringing you through. And it's a great comfort to do that. It's a great comfort to just be thankful when the Lord gives us thanksgiving. And so he's encouraging us with this psalm. Come to me in all things, good times and bad. Come to me and praise my name. Rejoice in me. Verse 6, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." And what he's saying here is that our warfare is not carnal. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. As Paul said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And so our Lord is described in Revelation 1, verse 16, as having a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And so the picture here is that this is our weapon, the gospel. And it's not used to hurt or harm, but to preach and declare the truth of our God in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we go forth. I've read that this psalm was used by wicked kingdoms who claim to believe on Christ and to justify their persecution and destroying of peoples in other lands. I'll read verses 7 through 9. It says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. But this isn't speaking of a physical conquering and a physical destroying of our enemies that we do. We're in the day of grace, in which the covenant of our God's grace has been established in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's Christ that conquers the wayfaring heart. It's Christ that conquers his enemies, including us, which we were when he subdued us with grace and mercy. And so we preach the gospel of our Savior. And Paul tells us how this is worked out. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And so, brethren, that's what we're called to do, preach the gospel. And our God will determine how that word of his grace is heard. It'll either be a savor of grace to them that are his, or a savor of death to them who are cast out and have no part in him, have no part in that dance. But I pray that this psalm rejoices your heart and makes you glad, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, no matter what you see or don't see, trust the Lord, trust your God, rejoice in him. Give him thanks, come to him with praise, and it's a real joy. He gives us that inheritance in his Son, Jesus Christ. So, amen.